Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
My name is Mike. I'm going to move these out of the way so I can see y'all. My name is Mike. I'm a believer in Christ, and I struggle with people-pleasing, control, and sexual addiction. Hey, it's good to be here tonight. Will you guys pray with me real quick? Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time that we have to share together. Lord, I thank you for each person here. And more importantly, Lord, the fact that you love them. You love me. And that you love us in our moments of greatness, and you love us in our moments of weakness and brokenness. And it's not because we're great, it's not because we're broken. It's just because you love us. And so I pray that that would be the heart of this message tonight, that if there's anyone here who doesn't have a relationship with you, that I would communicate clearly how to have that relationship and what that looks like. And Lord, that you would just be honored in the changes that we're making, that you would remove any fears or anxieties as we move ahead, knowing that you are in control of this all. We thank you for this time in your name. Amen. All right, guys. Well, hey, I grew up in a small town in Arizona called Cottonwood, Arizona. And I lived on a farm, kind of. The farm wasn't the source of food or, you know, clothing for us or anything like that. It wasn't that type of farming. It was more for activities and fun and kind of hobbies. But I did grow up on a farm nonetheless. We had ducks and chickens and some horses, a cow. His name was Mooner. He had like a half a moon on his forehead. It's kind of funny. We actually named the cow. Awkward, okay. Then we had some pheasants and some geese that laid these eggs like this big. And one day I decided, hey, I'm going to see what that would like if I could, you know, cook that dude up, make an omelet out of it, and guess what? It tasted just like an egg. So you can cook a goose egg, all right? And then I had personally on this farm, I had my own little hobby, and my hobby was racing homing pigeons. Weird, huh? Okay, yeah, weird. Racing homing pigeons. Like, they walk around like this, homing pigeons. You go, what in the heck does this have to do with recovery? Here I was part of the Verde Valley. That's the area that we lived in. The Verde Valley Racing Pigeon Association, VVRPA. Okay, and I'm not kidding you. And so what we would do is I would breed. I had this coop that my dad and I built together, and I was probably in the seventh or eighth grade. And I would breed these pigeons together, and then that would produce my flyers. Okay, so my flyers had a separate coop that they lived in, and I would let them out daily, and they'd go fly around the house, and they'd exercise and whatever, and then they'd come back in for dinner at night and whatever, and they're just kind of like my pets. And so then on Friday nights, we would take these homing pigeons to the pigeon club place, which is usually some dude's backyard somewhere in town, you know, usually in the less normal areas of town, I guess, so to speak. And I'm including myself in that little group of folks. So anyways, we'd go to this guy's house, and we'd fry up some, cook up some hot dogs and roast some hamburgers and whatever. And then we would put these bands on our pigeons that kind of identified them. They'd stick them in a cage, seal the cage, and that cage would go on a trailer, and then some crazy nut from our group would drive all night long, as far as 500 miles away with these pigeons, okay? And then he would take them to a drop location. And we had them as far away as Texas. Our 500-mile race was right on the border of New Mexico and Texas. And so they would drop the pigeons off. And in the morning at 7 o'clock, he would open the doors to that cage, and the race was on. And those pigeons, I've never actually went to a release. My dad once released for us. What a cool dad, huh? That he drove all night to release my pigeons, you know? And so they said, you know, 1,000 pigeons would just circle, just like this great big cloud, and go up to about 1,000 feet above the ground. And then all of a sudden, as if, the heavens parted and God told them that direction is home, those birds would just turn and go. And they would make it home that day on a 500-mile race. They'd be home by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which means they're flying about 50 to 60 miles an hour. They'd come home with mud on their feet to stop and get water at different places along the way. And it was pretty, actually kind of cool, right? And then when they get home, you take the band off, and there's a whole way of calculating their speed because, you know, when people live in different places, your coop is further away than other folks. And so you actually end up calculating the bird's flight speed, and that's how you win. And there's actually pigeon races that have $100,000 grand prizes. I never won one. Not in the Birdie Valley Racing Pigeon Association. It was like 25 bucks, you know, and a high five, and that was about it. So anyways, what in the world is my point? Why did I tell you guys that story? See, here's the deal with those homing pigeons. When those homing pigeons are away from home, they have one purpose: to go home. One goal, one thing in their mind. Nobody knows how it happens. As far as I'm concerned, it's a miracle of God, you know, and how he designed them. We don't know if it's magnets in their brain. We don't know if it's sunspots, the gravitational pull of the earth. There's all these theories, but nobody truly understands how to go. But they have one purpose, and that's to go home, to go straight to the source of food and water and shelter, where they can be taken care of. And it's from birth. They will always come back. The only way that you can get rid of a homing pigeon is to kill it, because they'll always come back. They will never leave that place. So, what's my point? My point is this, and what I want to talk with you guys tonight, is that I want to share with you guys what happens when we respond to grace. What happens when we respond to grace? And I will tell you, for me, that when I responded to grace, all I wanted to do, I have one purpose in mind. I wanted to get up high, and then I wanted to go home. I wanted to go to Christ. I wanted to go to my Redeemer, and I wanted to serve Him and love Him forever and experience joy and peace and healing and hope and happiness. Kind of like those pigeons. I wanted to just beeline it straight to Christ. And so what do we do on Friday nights? Well, what is our purpose here on Friday nights? What has it been all this time? Has it been to work the steps? Has it been to, get sober? Certainly not. And those of you that have been through the process know that. Those of you who are here for the first time maybe tonight, you'll come to know that. It's to focus our minds and our hearts on Christ and understand that healing and hope only comes from Him. And so what we get to do, what these steps, all the steps do, is they get us to get outside of ourselves, to circle up to a kind of a high level where we can kind of see the mess that our lives are, and then just leave it all behind and focus in on Christ and go. And we can leave all that behind and see new things come into our lives. And so what I want to do tonight is I just want to kind of give you a layout of what is going to happen on Friday nights, the purpose of it, the why question, and then we can talk later about the hows and the whos and the whats and all that stuff. But I want to talk about why we're doing what we're doing. And then I really, more importantly than that, I want to talk about what happens when we respond to grace, because that's really why we do what we do, is so that we can respond to grace. And the scripture that I'm going to talk through tonight is this. It's Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. And I'm going to read that now, and then we'll go back through it as I talk. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Anybody ever feel dead in your transgression and sin? I know I have. Even when we're dead, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come He might show us the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So there's three things that I see as I read this scripture that happens to us as we, that's kind of the process of responding to grace. And Al just alluded to them when he introduced me. It's these three things: that we realize our need for grace. Okay, that's just stepping out of denial of sin and brokenness and recognizing our need for Christ. We receive grace, and then we respond to grace. So what happens? What happens when I realize grace? So I believe that when we realize grace, God is in the process of making you alive. He is making your dead, cold heart alive. And here's the crazy thing about that. Unless he does that, we don't even know that we're dead. Right? How many of you guys know that? I know I was walking in deadness and sin and darkness and didn't even realize it until everything around me just started falling apart. And it was his grace that showed me that, right? 1 Corinthians 2:14 talks to this. It says, but a natural man, okay, this is a man who's not been touched by God. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. What, I'm broken? Come on. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. See, God has to do a work in you in order for you to understand that you're even broken. Otherwise, we're all foolish. We're all broken, and we think we've got it all figured out. That's called pride. And so so my appeal to you tonight is the fact that you're here in brokenness and pain, to me, says that God is doing something amazing in your life. And I know it doesn't feel like it when you're, you know, when you can't go a day without looking at porn. When you can't go, you know, a second without thinking about the next drink you're going to take. When your home is broken and your kids are rebellious and things are just not as they should be, I know how you feel because I have been there. But I would suggest that God uses those struggles to draw us close to Him. And so that just leads me into my story. See, my story, when I was made alive in Christ, when I realized my need for grace, was on January 2nd, 2006. I had, a lot of you guys know my story, but my story is a story of 18-year addiction to pornography and masturbation that really had me captive, all the way up into 7.5 years of marriage. And in 2005, I was nearly divorced from my wife. We were divorced in our home, certainly. We were fighting all the time, and we were not getting along. And my kids were being neglected. I was working all the time, and then I was playing all the time. I was addicted not only to pornography and those things, but to hobbies, fishing, hunting, camping, hiking, you name it, mountain biking. I did it all. And I did that on the weekend after working 80 hours. And so my wife had 3 kids, and she was just miserable at home. And she found pornography on my computer on January 2nd, 2006, and she confronted me. Ouch, I mean, that was painful. That was a hard time. But I also see that as an absolute act of God's grace and mercy and kindness that was bringing me to life, helping me recognize my need. And trust me, when your wife says, hey, get help or get out, you know you've got a need. And so that happened. So I did get help. I started coming to CR, or going to CR in Arizona at a church out there. And God just started to show me more and more how much He loved me, to the point that I was, I was on my bed. It was January 28, 2006, and I was reading this book that I'd been given. It was kind of a Bible study, and it had this list of 63 things that basically are associated with prideful people, kind of how they act and live. And then it, you know, just juxtaposed. Is that the right word? To that, you know, kind of across from that, was how humble people live and how they act and how they respond. And out of those 63, I checked off 50 on the pride side and how I live. And I just realized I was so prideful and arrogant and thought I had it all figured out. And I remember that God just completely and totally and utterly destroyed me that night in a good way. I literally rolled off the bed into a fetal position on the floor and cried out to God for mercy. And His grace and His mercy flooded my heart. And like that verse says in Ephesians 2:4, when we're dead in our transgressions and sin, He made us alive together with Christ. I believe that was the night that God completely rescued me from myself. And that's what happens when we realize our need for grace. So when we receive grace, okay, what happens when we receive grace? I believe that when we receive grace, that's when we're actually alive in Him, right? He's in the process of making us alive, and then there's this moment where we just come alive in Christ. He has removed the heart of stone from our body, and He has put in us a heart of flesh. We are justified with God in that moment. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans 1 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, No, that's not how it goes. I should have written it down. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, is Romans 5:1. And so it's this moment when we talk, and I talk about this all the time here, and I get excited about it. It's that moment when I realize that I am completely and fully and utterly broken. God completely and fully and utterly knows it. He always has, but I realize that He knows it. And I realize that I'm completely and utterly and totally loved by Him. That is that moment of clarity when I receive that grace. And peace and joy and intimacy with God and intimacy with others starts to flood my heart and my mind. And it'll do the same thing for you. And this is that moment that Ephesians 2:8 and 9 talks about. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. Nothing good that I had done in that moment, nothing bad that I ever had done up to that moment, would make God love me more or less than He did at that time. I mean, He loved me completely and fully as I was, broken and messy and ugly and snotting on the floor in the fetal position. God loved me. He made me alive together with Him. All right, so we realize our need for grace. We receive grace. And then we get to respond to grace. And notice I said we get to respond to grace. And when we respond to grace, everything changes. Okay, so one, you know, if my heart changes, my perspective on my sin changes in those other two steps. But this one is where everything changes. I mean, life changes, marriage changes, family changes, parenting changes, how I act around others, how I love others, how I get to walk through recovery with others. All these things in my life changed when I began to respond to grace. It's one thing to receive it and enjoy it for me, but then when I start to allow God to work through me to love others, everything changed. We sold our business. We sold our home. We bought a one-way ticket to Dallas on a Ryder truck. And we showed up here. I went to DTS. I just graduated a couple weeks ago. 5 years later, you know, Thanks, Lynn. Packed a two-year program into five, okay? I dare you all to try that. And got to see God just completely do amazing things in my life. So we got here. I started writing the scripts for the kids for Sunday morning, and then that moved into leading, and I led in CR, and then that moved into becoming a community director, and then over time that led into being the CR director and getting to start this on Friday nights and spend my Friday nights with you all. And then now, this is where I'm going to cry like a baby, as excited as I am, God's called me on to something new. In 3 weeks, Cindy and I and the kids and a group of men are going out to Arizona to start a church called Flagstaff Community Church. And that's just stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, this guy that was looking at porn 5 years ago that couldn't lead a family, couldn't lead a business, was completely unhealthy in my relationships, is going to go start a church. That is absolute absurdity other than the grace of God. It doesn't make sense. It's foolishness, right? What does the Bible say here? It says that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. It seems foolish, but God in His grace and mercy is calling us, and so we go. Just like we came here when He called us here. Whew, crazy. So, again, I know I'm going to say this a bunch tonight, but we realize grace, we receive grace, and then we fully and completely and radically respond to it. And something happens. And what happens is going to be the name of the ministry on Friday nights. Okay? So, got you there. Set you up. You thought you were coming to CR tonight, and you did. And I really want to be sensitive to those of you that have come for Celebrate Recovery tonight. Let me tell you this right now. You're here. God's got you here for a reason. I believe that. And this is a place where you can be fully known and fully loved and experience life change. I hope that's why you came. If you came only just for CR, let me just challenge you to just trust us, trust what God's doing, and know that what happens at CR is going to happen here on Friday nights. It's going to happen on Monday nights at Regeneration, as you might have heard that that's changing. I'll talk through the logistics of that in a minute. But just know that, hey, we're here to love you. We're here to serve you. and walk with you through your journey of recovery. The name's just a little bit different. The format might change a little bit, but it's going to happen here, okay? I believe that with all my heart. So, with no further ado, you guys got a piece of paper here that has some lyrics to a song. I hope those got passed out. If they didn't, on a yellow sheet, there they are. And the song is called You Are More. And what I want to do is play this song for you guys and just meditate on the words. And hopefully this kind of tells your story a little bit. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It tells my story somewhat. And then when that's over, I'll introduce you to the new name of the ministry, all right? So I'm teasing you a little bit here, all right? So here we go. Let's go ahead and play the song. All right, so what happens when we realize, when we receive, and when we respond to grace is we are remade, all right? We've been remade. Regardless of the cause of your pain, Christ remakes his people. And that comes right straight out of Ephesians 2:4. That when we're dead in our transgressions, Christ made us alive together, or God made us alive together with Christ. And so we've been remade. And so Friday nights are now going to be called, from this point forward, remade. And really all it's going to be is what we've been doing, is stories of folks who are going to tell you about how Christ has remade their lives, how he's brought them from brokenness into wholeness, out of chaos into peace, okay? And then we're going to have open groups just like we always have. And we're just going to go with it from here on out, okay? And here's some of the logistical stuff that I want to talk about to answer as many questions as I can right now, and then I'm going to be free for the evening to answer questions, you know, after we're finished here tonight. So, new name, Remade, Friday night, it's called Remade. And what it's going to be is new reminders each week of people who have been changed by Christ. And so it kind of goes like this. Next slide here. This is what this means, that when we realize, we receive, and respond to grace, we are remade. And so we're just going to constantly be going through that. So some things that you're going to see changing is that we're not going to recite the 12 steps any longer on Monday nights or the Beatitudes. What we're going to be doing is be going through... Friday night, thank you. We're going to go through Realize, Receive, and Respond each week and just talk through those points and what they mean to us so we can remind ourselves of grace. Next week when you come, you'll be coming to Remade. So if you are bringing a friend, say, hey, come to Remade with me, you know, so they're not confused. If you know anybody who's not here tonight, let them know so they don't walk in and think they're at the wrong place, all right? So you can help us with that, with communicating this out. Anybody who right now, tonight, is in a step study on Friday nights, and we still have a couple of you guys that are hanging in there, finishing up strong, you're going to keep going and keep going strong and keep working through your curriculum and do everything that you've been doing. Okay, nothing is changing for you. We're not going to, you know, make you switch books now. We got 4 new books for you to go through. You know, nothing like that. So you guys can finish up, and God bless you guys. I'm excited for you. I know that there's a couple groups right now getting ready to finish in June. So way to go. If you are going on Monday nights, okay. If you're working towards going on Monday nights and getting in a step study there, you are still going to get credit for your attendance on Friday night as you move. On Friday night as you move ahead. So we're going to keep that going for you. Nothing's changing there. Open groups are going to remain close to the same, with a couple exceptions. We're not going to do newcomers anymore because there's not as much to orient. You know, we don't have to tell you, hey, you're going to go to open group and then you're going to go into the step studies, which is what we do in newcomers. And so newcomers, you'll go to open groups starting tonight, actually. And there's just going to be a quick blip in there about, hey, this is what this is about. And then you guys will get started on your sharing. Okay, so we feel like we can maximize people's time that way. Let's see here. Here's the big deal, guys. Here's the big thing to really give you a clear picture of what Friday night is. Friday night, Remade at Watermark, is the hub of all pastoral care / recovery ministries at Watermark. Okay, it's the place where, you know, say like there's someone who's going through Shelter from the Storm, which is our ministry to women who have been sexually abused. If they are just really struggling and needing another place to just share, to be around people when they're hurting and they're going through the pain of processing through that, they're going to be invited by shelter to come to Friday night and hang out with us and receive encouragement, love, fellowship, hear a good story about somebody whose life's been changed. Another example would be if somebody's coming on Monday night and they're struggling with strong drug or alcohol addiction. You know, typically in AA or NA, they say, hey, get 90 meetings in 90 days. This is going to be a place where they can get one of those meetings in that initial phase of their recovery. This is going to be a place where we have gone and invited the community groups of Watermark to come and learn how to be authentic. Okay? No surprise to anybody. There's a lot of Watermark is like the plethora, we have this plethora of authenticity here, and there are community groups who stay like here, you know, surfacey, and don't go deep with one another. And so we're going to invite them to come in here and see what it looks like as we model brokenness and openness with one another and go into an open group and learn how to start sharing and talking about the struggles that they have in life. It's also going to be a place for folks who have just a ton of brokenness and pain in their life and are really struggling to get into community and find community. They are going to be invited to come here and start to hang out with us and find community. And so there's a lot of really cool things that Friday night's going to represent. And really, at the end of the day, it's gospel community. It's this receiving of grace and responding to it and us talking about that and sharing our lives. And I think it's going to become a really, really amazing place for folks to just come and get some rest and start to learn how to live in this crazy mixed up world that we live in. All right. So that's what Remade is. But for you guys here tonight, again, it's, I believe, and I told my team this morning or this afternoon in our meeting, I said, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that someone can come to Remade and not go through the steps of CR or go through a re-engage and just come and hang out with us and hear these stories, talk about their struggles in open group, and experience recovery or change completely. Because we always say this all the time, it's not about steps, right? It's about Jesus Christ. So, to conclude here, with my story and kind of where I'm at in all this, is that I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for Watermark and what's going to happen through this. But as I've realized my need for God's grace, as I received that gift freely and without shame, and I responded to His love and mercy, I look back at my life and I go, yeah, I've been remade. I'm a different person than you guys would have thought I was a total jerk 6 years ago, I promise you, because everybody else did, so including those closest to me, believe it or not. And so now I get to be on the front row seat in the arena of life change. And I'll tell you, going back to the pigeons, all right, you got the golden thread, you know, you guys got to tie up the end with what you start at the beginning. It's kind of, you know, it's public speaking 101. The pigeons, back to the pigeons. I loved those pigeons. Believe it or not, I liked racing them, but there was nothing more exciting than sitting outside that coop at 4 in the afternoon at the 500-mile race and waiting for those birds to come in and waiting for them to get home. And I'm telling you guys, the last 2 years, I've gotten to sit here and watch so many of you guys come home, come to Christ, come to healing, come to hope. I've watched your marriages be restored. I've watched your lives change, and I am grateful. And it's been 100 million times more exciting than watching stinking pigeons come in, I promise, okay? And so thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for the honor and the privilege of serving you this time. And I'm going to miss you. I'll be around the next couple weeks. And then we're flying out of this coop and going to another one. So thank you guys for letting me share.